Sister Marie Hickey, and she is the abbess of Clanmore Abbey. Big, big news coming from there. Notre Dame, America's top Catholic university, has agreed indeed to create a spiritual center with a Benedictine community at the iconic Abbey, and that will allow students to attend summer classes there starting next year under a new 30-year agreement. Big news. And Ireland's Prime Minister, Taoiseach Enda Kenny, officially marked the commencement of work last week. And a U.S. Base committee is actively funding the monastery, they're actively fundraising to build this monastery for the sisters. Mary Reed is indeed the in charge of that aspect of it. Her telephone number 914-420-3517, or indeed you can email Reed, R-E-E-D, Mary, 44 at yahoo.com. And we're also going to have the executive director of the Emerald Isle Immigration Center, Siobhan Dennehy. Many of you would know that it's now almost three decades that the Emerald Isle Immigration Center, which is a non-profit organization, has provided and continues to provide a range of programs and services to immigrants residing in the greater New York area. A fundraiser will be taking place on October 28th at the Manhattan Club, honoring Jeffrey Klein, a New York State Senator. Rita Leiden-Lenz of Mayo Society of New York fame, and Karen Keogh, Persichilli, who a great contributor to the Emerald Isle. For more information there, you can log on to EIIC.org. And we again, friends, are very excited for the great news from my own neighboring county of Galway, of Connemara, indeed, where Clanmore Abbey has been an icon for now heading for 200 years. And indeed, we can, what we might do by way of introduction to the abbess of Clanmore Abbey. And considering the occasion, maybe we will just play some of the Notre Dame Victory March, friends. Thank you. indeed, from Notre Dame University to Kilmore Abbey in Galway. But we are, in fact, now linking up with the abbess of Kilmore Abbey. And let me welcome Sister Marie Hickey. Sorry, hold it.
Okay. Hello.
Okay.
Hello, Adrian.
Well, hello.
Sister Maura is the name. It's not Marie, Maura.
Ara Maura. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Well, Sister Maura, we're off to a shaky start, other than the fact that we are delighted, and indeed a lot of your friends and supporters here on our side of the Atlantic are delighted with what appears to be an answer to prayer, in that Kilmore and Kilmore Abbey, an almost 200-year-old institution, has got a new breath of life. Maybe you would tell us about that, sister.
Delighted to tell you a little bit about it, Adrian. I was especially delighted to hear that new, Notre Dame victory marked at the beginning. I love the sound of it and hope to be hearing it live here one day. That we have got together with Notre Dame is, as you say, an answer to prayer. And the situation has been, yes, we have been, Kilmore Abbey is here for 200 years, and the Benedictine nuns came here having lost their monastery in Ypres, Belgium, at the First World War. They came here in 1920 and have been here almost 100 years. And had started a Benedictine monastic life here in this very beautiful place. It's an ideal place for Benedictine life, and they were putting all their efforts, everything they had, into repairing and maintaining this old castle and the estate, and they started a girls' school in 1920. They had been running a girls' school in Ypres in Belgium for the first over 200 years before that. And in 2010, after a long struggle, we found we had to close the school for financial reasons and because we didn't have enough vocations in the community to continue running a girls' school. It was a very sad time, but we were very clear we would stay here, and through our life of prayer, be keeping the spiritual dimension of Kilmore alive and making it more present to the many visitors who come here every year. And we decided we would try to find some partner or partners who would be interested in using our educational facility. School rooms were all empty now, for some other form of educational activity. And we were making contacts here at home in Ireland and in the United States too. There were people coming along saying they would love to have run summer schools here or retreats, various things. And while this was happening, through what I might call a coincidence, but I think it's just providential, we came into contact with some priests from Notre Dame, Father Tim Scully and Father Sean McGraw, who were on holiday in Ireland 2 years ago. And they discovered what we were trying to do with Kilmore, and it turned out that Notre Dame, which has a place in Dublin for a good few years now for study abroad programs for Notre Dame undergraduates, and Notre Dame in Ireland was looking for a second place outside of the city, somewhere in the beautiful remote west of Ireland, where their Notre Dame students could spend some of their time and come into contact with another aspect of Ireland than one experiences or spends all the time in Dublin. Dublin is a beautiful city, but it's not the whole face of Ireland, as anybody who lives down here in Galway or Mayo would tell you. You know that well yourself.
A patch on the west, but anyway.
No, not at all. We had meetings, discussions with Notre Dame people, and some of us visited us there in South Bend. Some of them came here, and the people, Notre Dame people in Dublin, started visiting, getting to know us. And the end of the story was that, or the beginning of a new story, it is not the end of anything, that Notre Dame has entered an agreement with us, and they are taking over for their use on a long lease a big part of our premises here and converting it into a residential hall for undergraduates with some rooms for faculty and teaching too. And the work on that renovation project is going to begin next Monday or Tuesday.
That's fantastic.
The contractors have just been in preparing these last few days. And it will be ready for use, we hope, by May of next year. And to begin with, for a trial run, there will be some part of the Notre Dame Summer Study Abroad program happening here. The Notre Dame Alliance for Catholic Education will be running part of their annual retreat time here next summer. And there are a couple of workshops, conferences from Notre Dame in the Rome branch, and I haven't got them all at the tips of my fingers right now, but several other Notre Dame faculties or institutes will be bringing groups here to do week or 2 week courses, and others of them are coming constantly to look at the place and see what they would like to be using it for as time goes on. So we are looking forward to a time when Kylemore is going to be full of young American or American-Irish students and faculty and sharing life with us. They were very interested not just in this beautiful venue, Kylemore. They were particularly interested in the fact that it is owned and run by a living Catholic community, Benedictine nuns, and they would a community of Benedictine nuns that has had education as its mission for many years, but has had to move out of that for reasons of vocations. And Notre Dame is very interested in having a praying Catholic community of nuns in their base here. They will be continuing their great mission of quality education for the world with the responsibility for service to the community wherever their undergraduates go, but backed up or in a community with a Catholic praying community. So they are very satisfied with this prospect, and we are very satisfied and very happy that a new continuation of our mission here at Kylemore is opening up for us, and that our beautiful home can be opened up to a great many more people whom we hope will go away peaceful and happy, filled with the joy, the beautiful experience of being here. So that's the story in brief. We have had a lot of hard work and many talks and discussions over the past 2 years, and we're happy now that it's just coming to the point where it is really getting off the ground. And we are very, very grateful to all the friends in the United States who have helped us with this, those especially who were helping us before we met Notre Dame and who had given us great encouragement to get started with this project of an education center at Claremore. And Notre Dame has brought along a new big group of friends that's growing all the time.
Sister Maura Hickey, abbess of Claremore Abbey, we learned, first of all, being from the neighboring county of Mayo, it was a great thrill to visit in the midst of one of the most scenic areas of Ireland in Connemara, to go to Claremore Abbey and to witness firsthand the not only the tremendous history of Claremore, but also to know that the Benedictine sisters, the Benedictine nuns for, as you point out, for almost 100 years, did a lot more than the spiritual contribution, which obviously was your main purpose and goal, but also the Benedictine nuns, they maintained themselves. You mentioned the work that went into sustaining yourselves at Claremore. A very full program, but also a great, it gave great impetus to, through that same 100 years of what it absolutely takes to not just take care of the spiritual end of it, but to basically show the work ethic, and no better place than in Claremore. Maybe just paint a picture for us, if you will, sister, of Claremore Abbey itself, and maybe give us a bit of the history of Claremore.
Well, I'm sure that many people listening would have some image of Claremore Abbey before their eyes as a beautiful building, the second half of the 19th century in a kind of neo-Gothic style, which was fashionable a bit among the wealthy English people who owned property in Ireland at that time and were building fine houses for themselves. Very special about Claremore is that it is in a setting, it's surrounded by mountains, bare, stony, rocky mountains, but all coming down into a magnificent, peaceful lake, and on one of the shores of this lake, Mitchell Henry built this beautiful castle. He had inherited family fortunes, and his wife, so the legend goes, wished as a gift from him that he would build a house for her in this magnificent landscape. And this is what he built. It looks out over this beautiful lake, Paula Capel, and cross the lake, the wooded stretch along the banks of the lake, and mountains reaching up behind it. Just green at this time of year, a certain distance up, and then stony and rocky after that. It's possible to climb up some of those mountains, and you get magnificent views right around all the mountains of Connemara and out towards the Atlantic coast and beyond. And there is the Mitchell Henry laid out lovely gardens round about the castle, which we have always worked very hard to keep in good order and have good gardeners now who do the work for us. And about a mile and a half away from the castle, but still within the grounds, Mitchell Henry laid out a 6-acre walled garden. He drained about 6 acres of land, which was stony and boggy, and nobody would ever have believed that anything could be done with it. But he was a very ingenious engineer and architect, although by profession he was a doctor, but he was skilled in all kinds of ways. And he drained that area, laid it out, and he built about 20 glass houses in there, and he had a lime kiln and underground heating system. And he was growing all kinds of tropical plants and fruits in that little space out here in the middle of the wilds of Connemara. And the one part of the garden is laid out in lawns and flower beds, a very beautiful herbaceous border avenue, and nearly half of the garden is vegetable and herb beds, and it's slopes because it's a mountainy area. He leveled smooth quite a lot of it, but it's this pathway going down, and the garden slopes up on both sides, and really well tended, looked after, and the flowers are changing all through the summer, the vegetables, and the stream flowing down through the middle of it. Beautiful colours and a wonderful atmosphere of peace. And it's because it's so large, it's never crowded. But all through the summer, there are people just strolling in there quietly, enjoying it, and being amazed at what human ingenuity and hard work can do, turning a bit of Connemara bog into a wonderful, wonderful garden. That's one of the main attractions here. And then at the other end of the estate, the castle itself lies between that walled garden and at the other end a very beautiful chapel. Mitchell Henry's wife died tragically at the age of about 46 or 47. She was the mother of 9 children, and she got sick on a holiday in Egypt and died, and he was heartbroken and built this chapel in memory of his wife Margaret at the east end of the estate. And it is a miniature, a replica of a Gothic cathedral in England, using beautiful Irish stone from Dalkey, I think, and marble pillars, the different kinds of Irish marble, red and green, black and white, and that's the other place people converge on when they visit here. They enjoy the scenery, the quiet. In the castle itself, on the ground floor, there are rooms that exhibit the history of the abbey itself, the story of Mitchell Henry and his wife, and how they built this abbey, what happened when they lost it, and what happened that led to the nuns coming here after the First World War in Belgium. And a very interesting story. And there's a little exhibition about the boarding school, life in the boarding school, that was here from 1920 to 2010. People spend time there enjoying it all, and then they go down to the Gothic chapel or walk and pray. People pray there, light candles, and it's a place of silence. And others go in the other direction, down to the walled garden and stroll around there.
Now, Sister, Sister Maura Hickey, we'd also, of course, like to point out that Kaimore Abbey is indeed a very prominent tourist attraction, and we know we also know that on tours, coach tours of Ireland, we know that CIE tours and several coach tour companies indeed bring us to a Kaimore Abbey that recently, anyway, in the last few years has had more of a festive kind of atmosphere, and that also one of the reasons that I would like to point out that despite the tremendous popularity of the tourist attraction itself, many have not managed to get to the gardens, to get to you know, to see the magnificence of the building itself. Having said that, whereas the chapel is magnificent, and many of the people who visit there, in fact, do get to the chapel. But one of the astonishing aspects of the now almost 100-year anniversary of the Benedictine nuns moving into Kaimore Abbey is that the sisters never have had a monastery as such, and that is something which I think brought attention. Again, we might say we learned of this through a great supporter of Kaimore Abbey in Fordham Law School Dean John Feerick.
Feerick, that's our good friend, John, yes.
Yes, and he, in fact, and a lot of the Fordham alumni did get together, and it was almost incredible to think that actually after all those years, the sisters did not have a monastery, and
that's
secondly,
right.
that you know, the sisters were over that period of time were kind of sharing the space, the dormitories, with the students, and that seemed to be hard to explain. However, through the committee here, and obviously some great supporters in Ireland, there will be a monastery, relatively modest compared to other monasteries as we know them. But there will also be a living quarters for the sisters, many
That's
of
right.
yeah, many of whom indeed, because of the financial stress and maintenance of Kaimore Abbey itself, many of the sisters actually had to leave the convent and leave that the kind more tremendous surroundings and actually find temporary lodging, as it were, away from Kilmore Abbey, in some cases a couple of miles away. That is difficult for us to understand, because the sisters deserved a lot better, but this new aspect and this very significant advance now should bring things to where many would feel they should have been in the first place.
Yes, that's right. It's when the sisters came here first in 1920, of course, a lot of the building was not habitable at all. They were renovating room by room and making it habitable, and they had to earn their living, so they started the school, which is how they had been doing in Belgium before they came here. There were divisions between the rooms for the nuns and the rooms for the school. It wasn't that there were no divisions at all, but it was just cramped, and it's very hard to be at a distance to the school. And then when the tourist business started developing, we needed to give up rooms one by one for sure. Exhibitions and for the tourists to be able to visit the monastery. And at one point, some rooms were built on as cells for the nuns, just very tiny sleeping rooms. And it just was never... They had rooms in different parts of the castle,
mm-hmm.
some in a cellar and some chapel in a tower, and then their sleeping accommodation built on somewhere. And it's, they had a roof over their heads, but the life of a monastery requires a certain amount of a self-contained building that is at a distance to what's going on around one, although in close contact with it, and where the community can be living its own life with its own rituals and rhythm, prayer times, and so on.
Yeah.
And you really need a building purpose-built for that, and we never had that. And as time went on, the rooms we had in the castle here were just becoming less and less adequate, building problems, roofs leaking and things like that. And there was a point, that was 2007, when we had to move out, and some had to move to a nursing home, the oldest nun, that was about just an hour's drive away from here, quite a long way, and the others were on different locations here on the estate in Kilmore, but not all under one roof. And it's all, all right. One is always grateful to have a roof and to be living in a place as beautiful as this, but it's not the kind of place where a Benedictine community can be living the way it is called to live and be passing on the message it's called to be passing on. So the nuns had that longing to have a monastery of their own for many years, but it was financially impossible. And through the present, this new arrangement, the space that Notre Dame chose to renovate and use for their new facility, some of the nuns were living in that, and part of it we were also using for the past 7 years or so as guest accommodation. So we have had to move out of all of that, and it was immediately clear that if we wanted this to embark on this new plan and move out of that building, we would now really have to take the step of planning that monastery that had been at the back of our minds for many decades.
Right.
So, with the help of some very good friends who are supporting this whole project, and with the hope of fundraising that we are planning to do ourselves, we are hoping to have the small new monastery here on the grounds, accessible for visitors who want to come and see a little more of what the monastic life is that is at the heart of Clanmore, but where the nuns have their own space, and where for women who are interested maybe in coming closer to this kind of life or even joining a community, where they could come and live in the community in that space for a while and get an impression of
My guess is Sister Maura Hickey, the abbess of Clanmore Abbey in Connemara in County Galway. We've had on this program many times before, and indeed on our side of the Atlantic here, a Sister Magdalena Fitzgibbon, who in fact has worked very closely with the committee on this side here, because of the actual opening, so to speak, and the visit of Ireland's Prime Minister Taoiseach Enda Kenny to mark the commencement of the work, and also the obviously the tremendous connection, the Irish American connection, not only with America, but to have the top Catholic University of Notre Dame again on very short notice, considering that you are planning to be up and operating by a few months from now in May of this year.
We hope so.
It is definitely something that has been on the prayer list, on the wish list for a long time.
Absolutely. And prayer, you know, it's not just longing for something and asking God to give us this, but it's also a matter of working very hard to do what one can to prepare for it when it happens. One of the mottos of the Rule of St. Benedict is Ora et Labora, pray and work. And he would see life of human beings and Christians as being life of work, using our gifts and making the world a better place, all in the presence of God and turned towards God and depending on God's help for it all. So that's what has been happening here. It's been prayer and work in St. Benedict's understanding of it that has led us to this point. And prayer also of very, very many people who are our friends and helpers and supporters, including those whom you mentioned, John Fearick and many friends of his, the Fordham Law School, Mary Reid, and the contribution they made before, as I said, before we encountered Notre Dame. They raised a significant sum for us to start work on an education center, and there will be one of the finest rooms here in the castle will be dedicated to that contribution of the Fordham Law School.
Yes, you also have great support from alumni of Clanmore Castle. Many of whom wound up in America, and
yes, that's right.
And another far-flung parts of the world. Also, I think that it's worth pointing out that not only has Notre Dame entered a partnership with Kilmore Abbey, but that actually it is a 30-year agreement. And I think that says something also. And it is indeed a far cry from just a few short years ago when, as you've said, the school had to close. The maintenance and the cost, the financial strain, left no other choice.
That's right.
So this is a whole it is a whole new beginning for a century of service and work and prayer and monastic life. Coming to the fore again, and we're really excited about it. And again, we want to send our best wishes to Sister Magdalena Fitzgibbon, because she has worked very hard on
she
this
has.
Side.
Oh, she has worked very hard, yes.
And also you mentioned Mary Reed.
Yes, Mary in New York.
Mary in New York, and if you indulge me just for a moment here, Mary's telephone number is 914-420-3517. Her email is readmary44@yahoo.com. A brochure, a plan of action, an opportunity for those who would like to be part of the continuation and indeed a new beginning for Kilmore Abbey is available. And I think that your website, which is being revamped to mark this great occasion, it gives us an opportunity to be part of something which, again, is not just something of a temporary nature, but indeed will go a long way towards continuing a tradition in Kilmore Abbey that we'd all like to be part of. I wish you well. And again, Sister Maura Hickey is abbess of Kilmore Abbey. A new day has dawned, and we're very, very happy about it.
Thank you so much, Adrian. And thank you for all the support you have given us. And for your grasp of the situation, I think you understand exactly what is happening here and are able to pass that on. And just as you say, in dawn of a new era for Kilmore and the Benedictine community here, and we would love to welcome you here. You haven't been to see us yet in a while, anyway, but we're waiting for you, and you'd be very, very welcome, you and anybody who you know is interested in what we're doing here. We would love to see you here.
We'll take you up on that also, Sister. Yes, I was there, but it is a few years ago, so we'll have to smarten up.
See the new situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Sister Maura, thank you for joining us. And again, we want to not only wish you luck, but I know that a lot of our listeners, a great number of our listeners, for good reason, are bemoaning the decline of Kilmore Abbey, and also very concerned about not only the existence but the future of the Benedictine Order there. So the day has come, so congratulations.
Thank you very much, Adrian, and God bless you and all you're doing out there. And you are in our prayers too, and please keep us in yours.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, Sister Maura Hickey there, friends, Abbess of Kilmore Abbey in Connemara in County Galway. And now supported by and partnered with Notre Dame University, America's top Catholic university. And the creation of a new spiritual center there with the Benedictine community is indeed very, very welcome. And there is an opportunity for us friends to support the good sisters and to indeed in very short order not only visit but perhaps support Kilmore Abbey and the Benedictine community.